For now, can we move on to agenda paper 6, updated to the multiple sections of IFRS for SME standards, for amendments to IFRS standards and IFRIC interpretations. And so now I would like to hand over to Wenyi.
Thank you, Wong. The aim of this session is to discuss the alignment with amendment to IFRS standard and the IFRIC interpretations, question S10 of the request for information. And we also send a request to the SMIC members to ask their written feedbacks. And we also will summarize the feedback from the SMIC members. Question S10 sought views on aligning multiple sections of the IFRS for SME standard for amendment to IFRS standard and IFRIC interpretations, as detailed in Table A1, A2, and A3 of the request for information. The three tables are reproduced in Agenda Paper 6, together with a summary of the feedback and staff preliminary views for each topic. Many stakeholders will obtain feedback form agree with aligning IFRS for SME standards with the amendment to IFRS standard outlined in Table A1. The respondent thinks amendments are relevant to SMEs and could provide helpful guidance. However, a small number of respondents expressed concern about the cost of applying the disclosure requirement introduced by Disclosure Initiative Amendment to IAS 7 and about the complexities that aligning some of the amendment would introduce. As I said before, some SMIC members provide written feedback to these questions. They agreed the standard should be aligned with most amendment outlined in Table A1. Many SMIC members also agree with staff's preliminary thoughts on Disclosure Initiative's amendment to IS 7 in the agenda paper. Two SMIC members expressed different views on aligning Section 13.4 with amendment to IS 16 and IS 14.1, the bare plan. And one SMIC member would prefer not to align these amendments and think if the staff proposed aligning with these amendments, further simplification are needed. And I will pause here and see if SMIC member if have any views on Table A1, the amendment in Table A1.
Okay, yeah, so this is basically about Table 1.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you again for SMIC members who have written your comments in advance for us. And thanks, Wenyi, to summarize those written comments. And I wonder whether there are any additional comments to whether you have and would like to raise at the meeting about the Table 1. Seems not the case, I think. Billing, are you?
Yeah, thank you, Chen Qiao.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Chen Qiao. I'm very worried about aligning, especially IS 16 and IS 41 on bearer plants. I know I provided the comments, but I think it's useful for me to share why I'm so worried about the alignment. Because the relief, as mentioned in the paper for the bearer plants, will only be a relief for the bearer plants, but not necessarily the agriculture produce growing on the bearer plants, as the alignment would require bifurcation between the bearer plants and the agriculture produce. And this actually introduced unnecessary complexity for the SME. And I'm not sure whether it really bring any benefit. And this is really against the simplicity principle. So perhaps let me elaborate what happened if we require bifurcation. For example, in the case of an oil palm tree, the SME would have no resources to determine, limited resources to determine the fair value of the fresh fruit bunches, FFB, be it whether they need to use oil content approach or the black bunches approach or whatever approach. And this is real because during the post-implementation review of IFRS 13, one of the major firms actually shared that they were aware in cases in which measuring the fair value of biological asset was challenging, such as the measurement of the FFB, fresh fruit bunches, growing on olive palm trees, as well as other produce growing on bearer plants. And in the case of rubber tree, how do we expect the SME to identify the amount of latex from the rubber tree glands? Obviously, they cannot chop down the tree to see the latex, otherwise the tree will die. And I also noticed that the IFRS preparers have also returned to the IFRIC in June 2017, and the IFRIC concluded that its role is not to conclude a very specific application question, particularly when they relate to the application of judgment required in IFRS standard. And this issue again was raised during the post-implementation review on IFRS 13. And if you look at the post-implementation review of IFRS 13 feedback statement, most respondents said fair value measurement of biological asset was challenging, with many asking for additional guidance on applying IAS 41 or for changes to IAS 41. And in response, the board concluded that although there might be inconsistent application in fair value measurement of biological asset, detailed application questions are best addressed by the valuation profession. So if the IRS preparers themselves, who are much more well-resourced, have issues in determining the fair value of the agriculture produce, I think it's so reasonable to expect SME that are less resourced to face similar challenge. You just imagine that SME have resource constraint, and yet now they may be forced for accounting purpose to engage the valuation profession to just meet the accounting requirement to find the fair value the agriculture produce. And definitely this will put additional burden and a further strain on their limited resources. So I would support retaining the existing requirement whereby the tree and fruits are treated as a single asset. Alternatively, if the board decides to align, I think there should be further simplification, that is to consider the entire bearer plant and the agriculture and the produce growing on the bearer plant as a single asset. That means no bifurcation between the bearer plants and the produce growing on those bearer plants. I just did a desktop research about about listed plantation. Up to today, there are still inconsistencies in the application of the method used to fair value the FFB for the oil palm industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Billing. I think you raised a very fair point. You know, from my personal perspective, you know how to bifurcate those, you know, produce growing from those trees or bearer plants. Yeah, and how to measure them at fair value. Very good comment. Very good comments you made. Thank you. And next, Chi, please.
Thank you, Jin Xiao. I basically agree with the proposed amendments. In disclosure initiative, as mentioned in some feedback, I think the introduction of the disclosure requirements for the cash flow statements in the disclosure initiative may require significant efforts and increase the disclosure complexity for SMEs, but the usefulness of the information hasn't increased significantly. So I think it's not necessary to introduce the relevant disclosure requirements by the disclosure initiative for SME standards for the time being. And the second And my second opinion is about agriculture, barrel plants. These amendments, I think these amendments in IS 16 is not very clear for barrel livestock. And I know at the beginning, ISB set up four models to discuss how to identify the agriculture into the measurement models. But I think if we can put the barrel plants into IS 16, why not barrel livestock? And I don't think the explanation about the barrel the barrel livestock excluded from IS 16 is very clear. So I hope we can discuss it more clearer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jia. And any other comments in relation to the table one? Reinhard?
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to strongly second Billing's point on agriculture product, and in general coming up with values that is based on unobservable inputs for SMEs is always a challenge. So while it might be useful and helpful to, for example, disclose the movements in the palm oil price year over year to give the stakeholders a sense of how the market is moving, coming up with a full fair value is really clearly a challenge for SMEs. So we need to be very careful.
Thank you. Next, Daniel.
Thank you. Many entities that have better plans are SMEs, even though they are large companies. But it is important to modify the treatment of these assets so that they are treated as items of property, plant, and equipment. Regarding greater complexity, I'm not sure because many of these companies are large producers. And in fact, they already carry out procedures to separate the producing plant from, the better plant from the developing foods. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. And I didn't see there any other hands up. Yeah. So, can you move on?
And then we will move to amendment to IFRS standard list in table A2. And many stakeholders support leaving IFRS for SME standard unchanged for cost benefit considerations. They also agree the board's rationale sets out in the request for information. A small number of respondents have different views on aligning session 3 financial statement presentation with disclosure initiatives amendment to IAS 1. And states no justification to waiting until the primary financial statement project is completed. Some SMIC members also provide written feedback to these questions, and most of them agree to leave the standard unchanged for the amendment list in table A2. However, more than one member share the concern that there's no need to wait the PFS project to be complete to introduce in IFRS for SME standard the clarification to IAS 1. Particularly relating to materiality, the staff would suggest doing further analysis on the amendment to IAS 1. With that, we would like to hear SMIC members' views on, do you agree with staff preliminary thoughts on amendment outlined in table A2? And also, we would like to hear your views on which key points on the amendment to IAS 1. SMEs member think should be reflected in the IFRS for SME standard. And now hand over to
Thanks, Wenyi. Now, let's discuss about the table A2 and whether there are any additional comments from SMEG members. Biling?
Thank you, Chen Xiao.
Yeah, you're the first. Yeah.
I just have a point on this depth amendments to IS1 on definition of material. Although I agree and support the alignment of the definition, I'm a bit worried about the term obscuring because this introduced an element of judgment, and again, then it creates complexity for the SME to apply. I have heard about concerns that from a regulatory and legal perspective, whereby it would be difficult to evaluate whether the information disclosed was with the purpose, i.e. intent to obscure, similar to the regulatory and legal challenges faced in proving negligence or recklessness. So just an observation to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Biling. I think it's a good comment. And any other comments? Jenny.
Yes, thank you. I would agree with taking another look at those amendments from the Disclosure Initiative. And we did make some amendments to our standard from that, so I'm happy to provide those as an example offline.
Thank you. We would appreciate those details, the materials. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah. Any other comments? I didn't see there any further hands up. So, could you please move on? Yeah, thank you.
Yes, and then we will move to the amendments and effect interpretations list in Table A3. Many stakeholders support aligning the IFRS for SME standard with the amendments list outlined in Table A3, except for the IFRS 21. Some respondents think IFRIC 21 should not be aligned because the government levies are less relevant to SMEs, and aligned with IFRIC 21 would introduce inconsistent within the standard. Some SMEG members provide written feedback to these questions, and most of them agree staff proposal that is aligning the amendment to IS 14, amendment to IS 12, IFRIC 22, and IFRIC 23, and do not align with the IFRIC 21. A small number of members express different views on aligning amendment to IAS 12 and IFRIC 23, and consider the difficulties for SME to comply with these amendments. And the staff plan to simplify the amendment to IFRS standard and IFRS interpretation when proposed alignment. But we also want to hear your views on whether you agree with staff preliminary thoughts set out in the paper, and what's your views on aligning the standard with amendment to IAS 12 and IFRS 23.
Thanks, Wenyi. Yeah, I think the message is clear, and most of the SMEG members agree with staff's proposal. There are some concerns about alignment with the amendment to IS 12 and IFRIC 23. So I wonder whether there are any, additional comments and suggestions from our SMEG members in relation to the table A3. Reinhardt, do you want to comment?
Yes, thank you. I think alignment is generally a good thing to do, but we should be very careful in how we align. So a lot of the topics are very technical, and if alignment would result in purely a copy-paste of the main standard, I think it would be too complex. So we need to be very careful in making it user-friendly in the sense of understandable and using plain English in explaining what we expect them to do, because otherwise it will be way too technical and way too complex. So alignment, yes, but please can we keep in mind the simplicity aspect of the standard overall? Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's a very fair point. I think we needed to apply substance over form, you know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Very fair point. Yeah. And any other additional comments?
We have other two.
Oh, there are other two. Okay. I cannot see from my screen. Qi and then Biling. Yeah.
Thank you, Jinqiao. I basically agree with the staff preliminary thoughts, but I have some comments for aligning the amendments to IS 40 investment property. The amendment to IS 40 distinguishes the different treatment of acquisition of investment real estates and acquisition business. So in order to provide sufficient guidance for distinguishing the two types of transactions, it's necessary to introduce the definition of business issued by IASB in October 2018. And that's my suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks, Qi. And Biling, please.
Thank you, Chen Xiao. I disagree with aligning the amendments on IS 12, again on grounds of simplicity principle and cost-benefit consideration, as the amendments would add significant amount of details in this topic. And also, I'm not sure whether the SME fully appreciate the deferred tax recognition. And the other point I would like to make is I strongly support the not aligning with IFRIC 21 in view that the proposed amendments would introduce a similar inconsistency within the IFRS for SME standard with Section 2, and this could cause confusion in its application. We should make life simpler for the SME users. And as it is, I think it's personally, I think it would is already confusing enough. The decision to retain and align Section 2 will result us in a situation whereby Section 2 contents, although are similar to the conceptual framework, yet these similar contents carry different status depending whether you read or you apply them in the context of the IFRS for SME standard or IFRS standard. Because Section 2 plays a different role as it carries an authority of a standard, as it is an integral part of the standard. Whereas for the conceptual framework, it's a separate document from IFRS and is not itself a standard, and this has been clearly explained in the conceptual document itself. Thank you.
Thanks, B. Very good comments. And VJ, please.
Thanks, Jingchao. I have already shared my comments to the office, and hence I am not summarizing here. Would you like me to repeat this, or in the interest of time, I have already shared?
Yeah, maybe just keep short. Yeah, you can share. Keep short. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. I have just three observations. One is on table A1, where I was in favor of this requirement in section 7 relating to the disclosures to be made for non-cash transactions. And in table A2, which is relating to section 11, in respect of continuing involvement of SME in a transferred asset, I believe that there should be disclosures which should be made. So that's the second observation. Third is, as far as table A3 is concerned, on this IFRIC 23, I don't think we should attempt to align with that as far as SMEs are concerned.
Thanks, Vijay, for your comments. And Qi, do you want to come back, Qi? Oh no. Okay, yeah. I think there's any further comments on table A3. So now.